God. Because it's him who transforms us. It's him who speaks to our heart. It's him who changes us. Time is trying to break into who we are. And just as we've been worshipping this morning, we've not had that for a few weeks, have we? Was that you then? Yeah, do a runner.
Thank you.
Yeah, please. I want to talk this morning about pride and how that impacts on our lives, not just with each other, but our relationship with God. And understanding God can be quite a complex thing because God isn't the same as us. And we try and work him out with our own understanding and our own thinking and our own logic. And while that takes us somewhere, it doesn't take us to the heart of who God is. And all the time, God is trying to break through into our hearts, into our lives, into our circumstances and be God. And for many of us, we know that, but we don't let him in. We don't allow him to do those things that he wants us to do. And so I'm talking about the reasons why we don't do that this morning. And I wrote down while we were worshipping, do you want anything from God? Do you want God to do anything in your life? Do you need anything from God or not? And sometimes we can go, no. I think I've got everything that I need. Well, it's not the way God works. God is all the time trying to impart something to us. We're starting a discussion group on growing in God in June. And there's none of us that don't need to grow in God. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for a week, a month, 20, 40, 60 years, we are growing in God. And the moment that we go, that's it, I think I've made it, is the moment our pride steps in and the moment God can no longer work in our lives. And so I just want to talk about how we break through that pride thing, that self-reliance thing that is so prominent in our lives. The greatest challenges that we ever face in life are ourselves. Other people can be annoying and irritating. Other people can upset us. But the biggest challenge is dealing with who we are and what we're doing, our responses to life itself, our responses to those around us, our response to God, our response to who we are. And it's massive. And I'm sure that most of your struggles are with you, with yourself, the way you think, the way you react, the words that we use. And we sometimes go, I can't believe I've just said that. Have you ever had that experience? No. Is it only me then? We say things, don't we? And then we go, what have I just said? What have I just said? I've upset lots of people in my life. Probably you'll be one of them. Because I just say things. And then afterwards, you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Why? Why do I do that? And it's because we've got this internal battle going on about who we are and how we express ourselves. In Romans, it tells us, doesn't it, that we do have battles. And it says, the things that I want to do. So we've all got good aspirations. We've all wanted to do good things. Those things, Paul said, somehow I don't do it. Why? And then the things that I don't want to do, I do so easily. It just seems to come naturally to me. And so he's kind of telling us that we all have this internal battle in our lives. And I don't think that ever goes away. I think we will always have that battle. But God wants to be part of that. He wants to be included in that so that he can begin to transform who we are. See, we're brought up in our culture, in the way we live in the West, to be self-reliant. It's what we do with our children. We teach them how to be self-reliant, to take responsibility for themselves, to give them the skills to work things out so that we can make informed decisions about what we do, where we go, and how we live. And we do that. We can live in our own strength, our own understanding, and we can get on with life, as most people do. But when we come into this relationship with God, that perspective has to change a little bit. You see, God is trying to help us in the issues of life by providing a different way of living and a different way of thinking. And he wants us to be reliant on him. We call that faith in God. We want to put our trust in him so that he makes a difference in the way that we live. God can only work with us if we allow him into our lives. I just want to go through some of the stories or some of the examples in the Bible that just kind of example what I'm talking about, so that you know that I'm not just making this up, that actually it is true that we do have these battles in ourselves. And I particularly think many of us sometimes have a battle with God. And I've been there and done all that kind of stuff as well. Exodus chapter 10. There we go. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord God of Hebrew says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me." And this is the story around the time that the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. And God had promised them that he was going to take them to a new land, a promised land. And he tasked Moses with leading the nation of Israel into that place. So we have a nation that was in slavery to the Egyptians. And Moses going to Pharaoh, "God wants you to let his people go. God wants you," and we know about the plagues that came along. And then we get to this stage here. "How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go." And it really examples sometimes about our relationship with ourselves and God, that very often we are desperate to be in control of what we are doing. God can keep on coming and saying, "When are you going to let my people go? When are you going to let me in? When are you going to do what I ask you to do?" But Pharaoh was in such a position, he was in a position of authority where his word would be like God's word. Whatever he said happened. He had this position. And because of his thinking, because of his training, he wasn't prepared to bow down. He was proud of his position and didn't want to be humbled into listening and trusting God. Pharaoh just thought that would be defeat. It would undermine his position. It would undermine his authority. And he wasn't prepared to concede. And we know the story of the children of Israel and how thousands and thousands of animals and people died because of the pride of Pharaoh. God wanted to break in, but the pride in himself, in his position, wouldn't concede to God. And we can be like that. We can feel, but if I admit to that, if I let God in, it's going to undermine who I am. People will recognize that maybe I'm not all I said. And we can feel that we can't concede to God. It's called pride. And that's where Pharaoh was. He wasn't humble at all. When the children of Israel actually went into, they were set free from Egypt and they were in the wilderness, this is what God said to them. Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." For 40 years, God was trying to break into the thinking of the children of Israel. He worked with them, he challenged them, but they refused to trust him. And if you read the story, it's a fascinating story of the human condition, how God was trying to break in, how God was trying to bring something of himself so that they could move into the promised land, but they just were intransigent. They couldn't be moved from their thinking. They just couldn't trust in God. They argued with him. They fought with him. They wanted things their way. And all God had wanted was for them to put their trust in him. See, for God to be effective in their lives and take them to the promised land, they had to trust him completely. There was even a time when they said, this is hard work, this walking around the wilderness, being fed every day, everything provided for us. We want to go back to where we came from. And there is a challenge about our relationship with God, because he is trying to move us to a new place. It's what he does. We're never static. He's always trying to move us. And sometimes we can go, I just want to be like I was, really. Can you leave me alone? And that's where the children of Israel were during this journey. Interestingly, there's only two made it into the promised land. There's only two who had enough faith in God to put their trust in him, to see what God was trying to do. The rest died in the desert. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, that's us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If we humble ourselves and are obedient to God, he will hear us and respond to our prayers. We must include God in everything that we do. It doesn't say if God does something. It says if you humble yourself, if you do that and pray and seek my face, then I will hear you. And sometimes we go to God not in humility. And all we're talking about here, when we talk about humble and pride, we're talking about the seat of authority in our lives. See, if we are full of pride, then we sit on that seat. We make those decisions. We determine what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. When we live in this relationship with God and he is sat in the seat of authority, that is being humble, because we're recognizing who God is, we're recognizing who we are, and we're allowing God to sit on that seat of authority. We are putting our faith that he will give us everything that we need for life and for godliness. It's allowing him into our lives. There's a scripture that says, and it's the Apostle Paul wrote it, when I'm weak, then I am strong. And what Paul was saying was, when I recognize my weakness, when I recognize my position, when I recognize who I am and who you are, then I'm going to let you be in charge. I'm going to let you sit of authority. See, God could respond very often like we would respond and say, hard luck, mate, you've had your chance. I've given you an offer, but you're not accepting it. And sometimes I feel that we imagine God responding like that. When he was talking about the children of Israel, he wanted to take them somewhere, but they refused to go. Response is always founded in love. I don't know how he does this. I don't know whether you ever look at your own life and go, how can God love this? Possibly accept me for who I am. Stand. But he does. And I don't know how he does it, but he loves us unconditionally. It's called the grace of God. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. And that's who God is. He responds to everything we do in love. It tells us, doesn't it, that he humbled himself and became a man. He humbled himself and became a man, just living as we do. He humbled himself to die on a cross to make it possible for us to have this relationship with God. God could have come down as God and just sorted everything out. He could have just used his authority and his power to make everybody understand who he was, but he wants us to live in the freedom of our own choices. So he came as a man, and he died as a man, but he was raised from the dead as the Son of God, and that is the key to our salvation. See, our starting point in our relationship with God is always humility. We've got to accept that we are sinners and we need help. And many people take offense when we begin to talk like this, when we use the language of sin, when we begin to open up who we are before God. And he says that we're all sinners. We've all done stuff. We are born into this situation. We've all sinned and we don't meet God's standard. And we need to do something about that to allow God to break into our lives, to allow him to sit in our place of authority. And so we've got to go, God, I need your help. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. Will you come in and forgive me? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We've got to open the door and let him in. I've spoken to a number of people who won't let God in, even though they recognize who God is. They recognize that they are a sinner. They recognize their need of God. But something just stops them taking that next step. We call that pride. They don't allow God in, even though they know they need help, even though they know they need God. Even though they know they need forgiveness, they don't allow God into their lives. They refuse who God is, just like Pharaoh did. I'm proud. You're not coming in. We can create all kinds of theories and alternative thinking. But ultimately, we are all in that position of being sinners. All have sinned. And our response to this revelation will depend on our humility or our pride. Are we going to let Jesus in? Hold our hands up and go, we need you, God. I need you in my life. Will we accept this truth or not? And if we can't accept it, we remain in our pride, not accepting God, not allowing him to be part of who we are and transforming us and giving us all that he wants to do. And I've been in that place when I was growing up in church. There was many occasions where I knew God was speaking to me, where I knew I had something in order to be obedient, and I'd just go, I'm not doing that. It's pride. I thought I knew better. I thought I could God, and pride took over. And there are periods in my life when I've been static in my faith because I've not allowed God to come in and do the things he wants to do. I've wasted years of my time and God's time because of pride. It's really important that we understand that God still loves us, even though we might feel and react like that. Pride doesn't accept help. It won't admit our need, and it won't let others into our lives. Pride very often leaves us isolated and we remain in the very need that we need to be met. I'm sure you've been around people who go, I don't need anything. You can't help me. And we recognize somebody's need and we go, do you need any help? They go, no. Are you sure? No, I don't need any help. Are you really sure? I'm really sure I don't need any help. And in the end, we stop offering our help because we think, well, there's nothing I can do here. I'm sure you've been in that circumstance. Anna, you may even have exhibited that kind of behavior where, I don't need any help. I don't need any help. I've been there, have you? Don't try and help me. I know what I'm doing. And so we can be like that with God. But God really wants to break in. Pride and self-reliance are not accepting what we need and not allowing anybody to help and break in. So do you need anything from God? This morning, do you need anything from God? Do you recognize your need? Or do you go, fine, thank you. I don't need anything from you. Psalm 10 says this, in his pride, The wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. So we've got to create room for God in the way that we think. We've got to all the time be seeking God, including him, in what we do every day, so that he can work something in us, so that he can bring his will to pass, so he can bring healing and freedom and all those things he wants to bring to us. But if we're proud, we don't even seek him. And as believers, we can be like that as well. Our relationship with God is accepting that he is God, and we need him in our lives if we want to receive all that he has for us. Matthew 5 says this, is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who recognize their need of God, because it opens up a door to God that will bring his values and benefits of the kingdom of heaven, a supernatural supply that we all need. So if you feel poor in spirit, if you recognize your need of God, if you recognize your weakness, then you're blessed, because what it opens a door to allow God to begin to meet those needs. The kind of relationship God is looking for, I did touch on a few weeks ago. I just want to read from it, John 15, first few verses. The true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. If you remain in me and I, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this kind of creates a picture of our relationship with God. He's the vine. He's the one that gives life. He's the one who that life is flowing from the roots through to the branches. And he says, you've got to be connected to me. If you are connected to me, I will produce fruit in you that goes beyond your every imagination. I will begin to bear fruit in your lives that others will recognize. I will begin to deal with the stuff in your life that needs to be dealt with. I will bring all those things to pass that are in my word, but you've got to stay connected to me. That's your job. That's my job, is to stay connected to him. As a human being, of which we are all, we can do things. I can do things. I'm very capable of doing quite a lot of things. But I can't produce any fruit without being connected to the vine. Spiritual fruit, fruit that is eternal, fruit that is going to impact those around me, fruit that is going to demonstrate who God is in my life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I've talked about this on a number of occasions, but when I first began to understand what that was saying, I was quite offended that God was saying, I can't do anything, you can't do anything. But we've got to come to a position of humility where we go, you know what, God is right here. I can't produce anything spiritual without him being part of my life, without him being part of who I am. I can produce nothing. We've got to learn to rely on him and not our own ability and skills. Pride must be dealt with if we want to grow in God. We've got to keep that connection to God all the time, all the time. And it's something we've got to do on a daily basis, is remind ourselves that we're not God, he is. I can't do anything without him. But when I am weak, when I recognize my position, then I'm strong, because God begins to give me everything that I need for life and for godliness. He supplies all my need. He begins to transform me from the inside out. See, a lot of the fruit that we bear, we don't even know we're beginning to grow it, because we don't. It just is evident to those around us that God is changing us and transforming us. When somebody says they're a Christian, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a transformation route. I'm looking for bearing of fruit. I'm looking at those things that only God can produce. Do you need anything from God this morning? Well, you've got to humble yourself. He said, and ask. Keep on asking. Humble yourself and seek me, and I'll give you. But we've got to be in that place where we recognize that we are humble before God, where he is God. And he wants to bring so much to our lives. He wants to bring so much that demonstrates who he is. But we've got to let him be God. Let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank you for your heart.